It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Shannon Bream.
I'm Will Kane.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. There continues to be greater discussions on the legacy of Mikhail Gorbachev and whether or not his achievements are still felt, appreciated, or recognized inside the Russia of today.
At the moment, essentially, Putin is getting rid of the last vestiges of the Gorbachev-Yeltsin revolution. But it is very hard for me to believe that there is no historical memory, historical footprint left in Russia by what Gorbachev started.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Vladimir Putin has certainly earned the world's ire as a strongman, a dictator, and a brutal one at that. And while his war against the Ukrainians will continue, the world is still marking the passing of Mikhail Gorbachev, the statesman of the 80s, who officiated as the general secretary when the Soviet Union collapsed. And there is a debate now over whether Gorbachev's moves were calculated or accidental. Many believe the former.
I guess just the most obvious thing is arithmetic.
Dr. Leon Aron is a Soviet-born American academic who specializes in Russia policy and history, and he's a senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute.
You take 240 million people in the former Soviet Union. You take at least 100 million people in East Central Europe that was under the Soviet domination, or you could call it the East European Empire, and he liberated them. By my reckoning, that makes him the greatest liberator in history of humanity. He essentially removed a totalitarian rule over 350 million people. So that's the first thing. The second thing is he brought something to that rule of the Soviet Union that has never been there before. Or had never been there before, I should say. And that is the moral consideration. Remember, from the very beginning, from Lenin to Stalin to all other leaders, there could be back and forth. There could be, a thaw, a bit of a liberation and liberalization. But it was all tactical. Gorbachev, we know now actually from his memoirs, but also from the documents and the memoirs of those who were with him, that he was the first Soviet leader who decided that it was wrong to rule through terror and lies. And I think everything stemmed from there.
That is, I think, perhaps the linchpin that Gorbachev chose something better, that he wanted something better. He understood not only was Russia's economy failing and that it was not going to be sustainable. He realized more so that not only was communism failing, but that totalitarianism was not just failing, but it was morally wrong. And that seems to be, at least from my perspective, I think sometimes that gets a little lost in the weeds, that there is a moral imperative to work against that iron fist type of rule that Russia was, so the Soviet Union was so infamous for, that still exists to a great degree in China. China has sort of eschewed communism and for a form of capitalism, but it is still totalitarian. North Korea, Cuba, for instance, right off of our shores here in the United States, still practices this type of rule. But Gorbachev was really the first big world leader to say enough is enough.
That's exactly right. I think you put it well, and it's sort of a miracle. Let me address a couple of things that you mentioned in passing. But we've seen in the past couple of weeks. this business about, oh, Gorbachev saw the Soviet economy is failing, so he had to do something. No, he didn't. The Kims of North Korea are not doing anything. Cubans are not doing anything. Stalin killed or starved at least 10 to 15 million people. He didn't feel that he needed to liberalize the regime to better its economy. So that's simply it's a simple, facile, I should say, way to try to understand Gorbachev, and it's entirely wrong. And while we're at it, there's one other thing that I would like to say on that subject. Oh, he felt that strategic defense initiative and, you know, the technological advancement or superiority of the West were troubling, so he needed to liberalize. Another, I mean, easily, very easy to prove that this is wrong. First of all, with all my huge respect for Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall, which, as we know, by the way, contributed to the moral situation in the Soviet Union. With all of this, they knew from the very beginning that the Strategic Defense Initiative, as a shield against Russian or Soviet retaliatory strike, was a pie in the sky. We still don't have it. Secondly, so what? I mean, they had at that time, before arms control agreements, or even with SALT and START, they had, okay, let's say 7,000 strategic nuclear weapons. Goodness. Look at North Korea. Do you need to liberalize the regime to do what exactly? To produce more strategic missiles? In other words, they were already in the position, whatever their economy was, they were already in the position to annihilate the entire world and, of course, the United States. So again, to say that he decided to liberalize because he was struck by the brilliance of Strategic Defense Initiative and other defense technologies of the West is false.
We've been speaking with American Enterprise Institute Senior Fellow Dr. Leon Aron on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Dr. Aron straight ahead. It keeps coming back to the point. There was a desire that he had to end this totalitarianism, that he could see his own people suffering from it for decades. And there has been, I think, this re-explaining of history, as you've mentioned, that there were other factors besides this contributing to his decision making while in office. Sadly, the fall of the Soviet Union did not have the effect worldwide that I think most people had expected it to have. China is still, as we mentioned, China is still practicing totalitarianism. Cuba is, and as you've mentioned, they haven't liberalized simply because their economies faltered. China embraced a form of cheating capitalism, if you will. Even here, closer to the United States, Cuba is still their economy is an absolute shambles. North Korea has trouble feeding its people. Its leaders don't care. They still live in whatever opulence they can muster. So what really would be the next step? I mean, I think sometimes people here in this country don't have that same frame of reference like we used to get in the 80s, where we were informed about how horrible it is to live under those conditions.
Well, I think that's exactly correct. The significance of Gorbachev. First of all, the fall of the Soviet Union did have, of course, maybe not as much as we expected, but did have a very significant impact on the rest of the world. For one thing, it discredited state socialism. Yes, you said China. Well, remember, when Gorbachev started, China was an example of China was under a much more liberal a rule. Still, of course, communist authoritarianism. But under Deng Xiaoping and three more premiers before she took over and decided to essentially re-Stalinize China, China, you know, allowed quite a bit of freedoms and quite a bit of liberties. And at that time, I remember visiting the Soviet Union, they looked at China, 87, 88, as a good example of combining sort of elements of capitalism with one party rule. That is maybe something that Gorbachev aspired to in a softer way. You know, he actually he was asked, what's the difference between you and Alexander Dubček, the leader of the 1968 communism with a human face that, of course, was crushed by the Russian tanks in Prague in August of that year. And somebody said 20 years. That was the only difference. So the worldwide discrediting of the totalitarian or authoritarian socialism, I think, was a huge impact. And it was a historic event. In other words, nobody in Asia or Africa, whatever disguises those authoritarians use, they cannot say, oh, we're building socialism on the model of the Soviet Union. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, the author of one of the best books on American democracy, which was, of course, Alexis de Tocqueville, and the book was called American Democracy, had a marvelous, in the introduction, had a marvelous image. And that was that of the rivers that go underground and seemingly disappear, but then reappear again, maybe in slightly different way. And I think this is the way we should think about Gorbachev. Yes, at the moment, essentially Putin is getting rid of the last vestiges of the Gorbachev-Yeltsin revolution. But it is very hard for me to believe that there is no historical memory, historical footprint left in Russia by what Gorbachev started. Of course, you know, the jury is out on this, and we'll see what happens after Putin. But I'm almost certain that one way or another, what Gorbachev started will reemerge in the post-Putin Russia.
Dr. Leon Aron of the American Enterprise Institute, thank you so much for being with us here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.